Well, good morning.
So pleased that James and team introduced that song to us this morning, because when I was thinking about today, and today is the last in our series of Encounter, and Encounter has all been about that theme of how we encounter God through when we gather together. And that song, I think, which is a Chris Tomlin song, has got so much in it about what we've been talking about in the last few weeks, and particularly that idea that, you know, we welcome God into our meetings and we engage with him in that way. So it's a sad day for those of us that have been ploughing through this series, but it's a day where we're just going to do a little bit of reflection over the 8 weeks and then ask that question, So what? So if our gatherings are meant to be these wonderful encounters with God, what does that mean for us in terms of preparing for them? So I'm going to read two passages that will come up on the screen, quite famous ones. The first one is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and their goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then a little later on, from Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. When you read through the accounts of the early church in the New Testament, you get the very clear idea that gathering together as church was meant to be something very special. In fact, not just special, but actually essential in our walk as disciples, as followers of Jesus. It was something that the believers gave their priority to, and it was something that they did with a sense of expectation and anticipation in their heart. Meetings of church were meetings with one another and encounters with God. There were places and times where praise and worship flowed freely, places and times when God's word was shared as teaching took place, places and times where people shared communion, and places of time where God spoke through prophecy and words of knowledge and other gifts of the Spirit, including the gifts of tongues. So you get the picture also that meetings of church were vibrant, they were joyful, they were dynamic. Our reading from Acts 2 speaks of a people who were filled with awe in response to coming towards and encountering this great God of theirs. It gave this whole sense of awe that they could meet with God in this way. We were told in Acts 2 that also there are places where signs and wonders took place. But also Acts 2 gives this sense of not only was it meeting with God and signs of wonder and awesomeness, they were gatherings that had an impact on their front line, on their everyday life. As we read that they sold what they had, they held things in common, and they met the needs that they saw around them. So it wasn't just a great big bless up in their meeting, but it had an impact on the way they lived the rest of their life. And then in Hebrews 10, it ended with the plea that people should not stop meeting together. So already in the early days, that kind of regular pattern of meeting together was something that people were beginning to lay aside. And Paul says, this is something precious. You know, don't give it up. No, don't stop meeting together. So it is this sense of the central importance of meeting as church together, and the sense that such meetings are encountered with a living, holy and awesome God who wants us to know him, that has been at the heart of this whole series of encounters that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And there's no apology from David, Paul or myself that we have deliberately, when we've done this series and walked through it, we have deliberately tried to heighten that sense of expectation and anticipation that when we gather together, it's vitally important and we're meeting with a God who wants to meet with us. We want to engage with God, to his presence by his Holy Spirit. And that carries with it ideas such as moving from a people who kind of consume and consume worship and consume from God to a people who actually contribute to what God is doing. So we move from a people who receive to a people who to respond to what God is doing. So that's been the essence and the core of this whole series of encounters. But when we look further into some of the principles of the New Testament view of church, we can see that in some way they converge at the point of meeting of church. Now, when you look through the New Testament, you will see loads of ways of doing church and being church. You won't find one model of how to govern church, but you will find a set of core principles. So on this lovely four-circle diagram behind me are four of the core principles that the New Testament talks about as in terms of being church. And they all connect, I would say, in perhaps the church meeting. So if you think of the purpose of spiritual gifts that Paul spoke about a couple of weeks ago as being to build up the whole body, the meeting of church is the ideal place to discover, to develop and express those gifts. What greater and more obvious way is there to experience the headship of Christ than to experience his leading of the meeting of church through his Holy Spirit? What greater opportunity is there to demonstrate the priesthood of every believer than in the meeting of church as we praise the same God, as we worship the same God, as we pray and as we share communion together, which we are going to do this morning. And at the meeting of church, we gather together as the body of Christ. We come to be strengthened and encouraged by other members of that body and to encounter God, not just as individuals, but as family together. As we meet together, we are reminded of our unity and our interdependence, and we all come to contribute in some form of ministry. So if meeting of church is vitally important to our life as followers of Jesus, if they are a time and a place to encounter a God, and they are a time and a place where core New Testament principles of church come together, should we be preparing for them in any way? Or should we just be turning up and expecting stuff to happen? So we're going to play the second video of the morning, this morning. Just to say that this video is prepared by Church in America to advertise a new service. So the bit at the end you can treat lightly. Don't get worried. We're not just about to change the time of our Sunday meetings yet again, because we're just settling into this new pattern. But I wonder if you can share anything from the experiences in this video.
All right, team. Thanks for gathering here this Saturday evening. I'm sure you're wondering why we're having this meeting. We have one mission tomorrow, and we are going to get to church on time. There's going to be no whining, no crying, no fussing, and no fighting. We are going to arise promptly at the specified hour, clothe ourselves, get into the van, and proceed to church before the music is over. Thank you, that is all. Have a pleasant Saturday evening.
To leave.
Let's try this again.
I wonder how stressful getting ready for church is in your house or has been in the past. My challenge to them would be, I wonder if moving a service to Saturday evening would actually make any difference to their rather stressful preparation for a gathering of church. But if we think about coming together on a Sunday morning, we would probably expect that the worship team would have prepared beforehand, that they would have given some prayerful thought to what songs they're going to do, and have met and have worked out that they can all play the same tune to the same time. We would expect that the service leader would have some idea of the shape of the service, and that the person who's speaking has got a vague idea of what they might say and what might come next. But what about the rest of us? What are our expectations of how we prepare? I think there are two challenges this morning. I think we can fall in to be in one of two groups. We could prepare as workers for our Sunday gatherings, whether we're worship team, welcoming people on the door, making coffee and so on. And the temptation is that we can prepare much the same as we would prepare for a job at work. And it's very easy for our mind to be full of logistics and plans and timings and details and what we need to do. And preparing for a gathering at church becomes a matter of preparing for what we need to do rather than an excitement for how God might meet us through it. Maybe we even can drive some of our self-worth through the way that we serve. But then there's the other trap that we can fall into, and that is preparing as spectators, of coming to watch and just to receive rather than to participate and to give. We can come with an expectation that everybody else needs to make sure that we have a good time, that our children are looked after, that our music sounds a certain way, that the talk is appropriately funny, certain amount of biblical content makes us feel warm inside when we leave the place in the morning, and that the whole thing finishes on time so that we can carry on with the rest of our life. And my confession this morning is that sometimes my preparation for church on a Sunday morning, whatever I'm doing, can be a lot less for other areas of my life that perhaps are less important. So, for example, Carol and I don't go to watch the cinema very often. But when we do, we'll go onto the View website and we'll run through all the little clips of all the films that are on, and we'll give them our own rating to see if we want to watch them. We'll think about what time we need to leave house in order to get there so we don't get too many of the adverts beforehand, but we don't miss the beginning of the film. We'll think about where we're going to eat afterwards and what time of day to leave and all that kind of stuff, just to sit down and watch 90 minutes of entertainment. But on the other hand, there are times when I just about roll out of bed in time to be here at 9:14 in the morning so that I'm not late, without putting any other thought in my head or any other preparation, but then sit down in my seat and expect that I'm going to meet with an awesome God. And I suspect that I'm not alone. So here are some hints and tips, perhaps, about for how to prepare to encounter God in a meeting of church. And I guess the first one flows a little bit from what I've already been saying, and that is, rather than coming at a gathering of church with the attitude of worker or spectator, come with an attitude that this is a time and a place to encounter God. Have that expectation at the core of our heart and our very being. Look forward to it with joy and excitement. And come with the attitude that, yes, we're going to receive from this amazing God, but also out of receiving from him, we're going to respond to him in some way. And that we're going to come to edify each other, to build each other up. So kind of maybe realign our attitude to gatherings of church. And although we have spent a whole series looking at gathering of church, and particularly Sunday morning, it's important to accept that this isn't standing in isolation from the rest of our life. It's part of our whole life. We've spoken about the link between church gathered and our front line, and looking at that diagram that David did about the challenge being, how do the red dots stay red on a Monday to Saturday when we're in the rest of our life? God is with us every minute of every day and every week, and the meeting of church is not meant to stand alone in splendid isolation. So part of preparing is staying close to God throughout the whole week, having times of family worship, having times of prayer, being alert and hearing God's voice throughout the week. Who knows that on a Saturday to a Monday, God may be speaking into your life about something that he wants to share when church is gathered on a Sunday. Most weeks, those of us who speak will prepare notes for small groups to use if they want to. And they're great because they allow time to go a bit deeper into the subject matter. They allow time for people to share stories and to reflect on what was said on a Sunday morning and to meditate on it. But why not read the passages of Scripture in advance on a Sunday morning? Don't know if you've ever noticed, but on the news sheet, as well as saying what the theme is and who's speaking next Sunday, it will usually give the passages that we're going to speak from. So why not spend a little bit of time reading those passages before Sunday and asking God to speak to you and start to reveal things about what he might say to you in those passages. And maybe God might then prompt you to share that with us on a Sunday morning, to think ahead. And simply pray for the meeting of church before it takes place. Ask God to be present. Pray for the speaker and the worship team as they prepare. Pray for the Sunday group leaders as they're preparing for everything that goes on with the children and youth work. Pray for individuals and their needs, and also pray for God to bring to mind to you the names of somebody that he might want to speak, you to speak with on a Sunday. You know, there may be a name of somebody that God places on your heart throughout the week, and you might not be particularly sure why God's brought that name to you, but it might just be a prompt that when you next meet them on a Sunday, just go up and say, "How are you?" Or, "God has brought your name to me. How are you doing?" And then let's look after our spiritual health. In Psalm 139, David said this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." There is loads of stuff and junk in our life that can get in the way of us and God. And it doesn't just have an impact on us as individuals. Because we're interconnected, it can have an impact on us and have an impact on us when we gather as church. So it's good to have a spiritual health check, as David did throughout the week, and say, "God, just examine me. Is there anything within my life that I need to put right or put right with other people. Now, hopefully, those kind of hints and tips all sound vaguely achievable and certainly biblical. But what about the practical stuff? We are whole beings. That family on there, I know they were hamming it up. They were struggling with having a family of young kids, of being tired and all of the rest of it. Life was kind of getting in the way of them arriving in church in anything other than a frazzled state. So here are some practical suggestions that I came across, and I'm talking to myself as much as everybody else. The whole Saturday evening, Sunday morning thing. When I was about James's age, by the way, James is about to be a man. He's going to be 18 on Tuesday. Suddenly he's going to grow a beard and life's going to get very difficult. He's going to think adult thoughts. So be ready for it, James. There was some Christian group who sang a song that stuck in my head about Saturday night, Sunday morning. But it was aimed at the culture of young people like me at the day who would like love to go out on a Saturday night and spend loads of time Saturday night crawling to bed at 2 o'clock, would then expect to go to church the next morning and engage meaningfully with God in a meaningful way. Well, just a simple thought, if we really value our gatherings on a Sunday morning, should that partly have an impact on what we do on a Saturday night? I know that if I stay out late, on a Saturday night, there's no way I could probably come in here at 9:15 and engage effectively with God, because I'm going to be drowsy and tired. Maybe that's an age thing. How about setting the alarm to make sure it's a priority to get to church on time? In our house, when our children were younger, we used to have getting ready during the week down to a fine art and set the alarm as late as possible. But it meant that our children and ourselves all had to go into the bathroom and only spend an appropriate amount of time getting washed and have our breakfast at the same time, at the right time, in order to get out to school and to work on time. If there was anything that interrupted it, chaos ensued, because we built no tolerance in there for things to go wrong. And yet, if we had a job interview or we were meeting somebody important the next day, we would make sure that we prepared and were there on time. So maybe set the alarm, and set the alarm allowing for things to go wrong. How about preparing your mind beforehand, before you come on a Sunday morning? Is there a way that we can do that? You know, one suggestion has been to have like a media-free household on a Sunday morning. Don't Facebook, don't text, don't watch the telly, don't play video games and all the rest of it. But maybe just spend a bit of time in silence preparing before God. There's loads of evidence that's come out, hasn't there, about not watching your mobile phone or not watching your computer screen for an hour before you go to sleep, because the kind of light and activity that generates in your brain distracts you. So try that in the morning. And finally, how about this? How do you arrive at church? Do you arrive frazzled like that family, with half your family missing from the stress of getting up? My temptation is that I know that many of the people I need to speak to do business with my job at church, are going to be here on a Sunday. And my temptation is, when I come in the morning, if I see one of you and I feel I need to teach you about something, to launch straight in and start that conversation before a meeting of church. Whereas really, why not save the business until afterwards and coffee time? So I don't know what you think about those. I didn't make them up. There were suggestions that other people have come up with. But the whole essence is, if gathering of church is meant to be an encounter with God and we're expecting meaningful things to happen, then it's good if we prepare for them in some way. So that's the end of the series of encounters. I was looking very hard and thinking very hard about how I could come up with some amazing conclusion for these weeks. Something pithy. You know those sayings, those four-line sayings that kind of rhyme with each other. Something I thought that David Lawrence would be proud of when he listens back to this podcast and say, "Mike, I wish I'd thought of that." But I thought of nothing. So, apart from the great theologian Bugs Bunny, So to quote Bugs Bunny, I want to say that's all, folks. That's the end. I hope this whole series of encounters has blessed you, challenged you in the right way, made you think, and made you excited and looking forward to our gatherings together.